good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Excellent. If you would turn in your Bibles to Daniel chapter 1. That's where we're going to start. Daniel chapter 1. And as you turn there, there's a lot of familiar areas in here, and we're not going to cover all of them, and we're going to look at it a little differently. There's three groups of people that I want us to focus on. And the first one is Daniel. The second one is his friends or his companions, as the Bible puts it. And the third one is the one he serves. And I'm talking about the one they serve there, the king there. Not the risen king, not the king we serve, but their king that is their leader. And those are the three groups I want us to focus on as we listen to that. So Daniel chapter 1, in a brief history, Nebuchadnezzar, okay, he's leading the Babylonian army. And they're heading home, they've had a victory, and they're heading home, and he decides, hey, let's swing through Jerusalem, and let's get some more goodies. So they stop through Jerusalem, they take some loot, what the heck, let's take some prisoners with us, and they take some prisoners, and with them is Daniel and some of his friends. Didn't have enough. Wanted to swing by another town and get some more goodies on the way back home. So we get there. Daniel's one of his prisoners. And Nebuchadnezzar, they had an old tradition of worshiping ancient Babylonian gods. And guess what he did? He came and said, we're going to start worshiping them again. And we're going to revive that stuff. A lot of people are leaders. It's just, what are they leading people to do? Are you leading them for good or are you leading them for evil? And you can have people that lead a lot of people down a dark path. He's going to lead them back into worshiping. But he's worshiping the wrong God. But Daniel comes back and he's going to get them to worship the true God, the one that we worship and the one we serve. Amen? All right, so Daniel chapter 1, verse 3 is where we're going to go. And just forgive me if I don't get these names the way you're used to hearing them. I don't think any of us really know the correct pronunciation, but we'll know when we get to heaven and Jesus introduces us to all of them, I'm guessing. Then the king instructed Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants, some of the nobles, young men in whom there was no blemish, but good-looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understand, who had ability to serve in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the language and literature. And I thought this is interesting. What a diverse group of people they're gathering together. Let's just pull all these people. They need to be good looking. They need to be smart. They need to be intelligent. I'd be out of any one of those groups. But he got a group of all these different places, from the king's descendants, some of the nobles, young men in whom there was no blemish. And he wanted people so that they could teach them the language and literature. And the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank. I got the impression these were some young folks, so I was surprised when I read he was giving them wine, but maybe that was just my interpretation of that. And he says, in 3 years of training for them, 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of that time, they might serve before the king. That's a long time to get what they're teaching, but it's important. As our teachers and past teachers know, you can't just walk in there and start teaching something you don't know anything about. So if these people are supposed to teach others about the literature and the way and the past and the history and the language, they have to know about it and they have to spend some time doing that. And their time was 3 years. It says among those were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. To them, the chief of the eunuchs gave names. Daniel became Belteshazzar. Hananiah became Shadrach. Mishael became Meshach. And to Azariah became Abednego. And the Bible is full of changing people's names. It's no wonder we can't keep up sometimes with what their name is. And who are you talking about? I thought that was so-and-so. But listen to verse 8 here. In verse 8 it says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies. He purposed in his heart, right then and there, I'm not going to defile myself. I saw a big wave of young people over here. We've got a couple back in here. No offense to the rest of you, but young people, what have you purposed in your heart? What have you purposed in your heart? And say, I will not defile myself by doing this, by saying this, by talking this way, by going here, by watching this. It's a tough thing at that young age to purpose something in your heart. It's a tough thing at an old age to purpose something in your heart as well. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. That's a powerful thing to me. That's a powerful thing. With Daniel, though, as we read on, it says he didn't want to defile himself. Now God had brought, in verse 9, God had brought Daniel into favor and goodwill with the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king who has appointed your food and drink. For why should he see your faces looking worse than the young men who are your age? That endanger me. He says, I don't want to withhold from you because you're going to look pretty bad when you don't eat what he's given you. And the king's going to want to know from me, what's wrong with them? What did you do to them? And I thought it was interesting. He said in the middle of 10, for why should he see your faces? And I had to read that over and over a couple of times because Daniel was talking to him. But as we read further on, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah all said, we don't want that. So he's talking about the group. So Daniel's there with his friends. Young people again. I'm sorry, I woke a couple up. Young people again. Young people out there. It's important that when you choose your friends, you choose them very carefully for where they're going to take you and be careful where you're going to take them. The rest of us older folks, it's very important that we choose our friends and our companions very carefully and where they're going to take us and where we're going to take them. Because we are just as easily pulled away in an older age than our young people are at a young age. So he said, please test your servants for 10 days. Let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. And then let our appearance be examined. And they looked fine after that time frame. Said, okay. So they find favor. They get promoted. They stick together. They stick together. It's said in here that they were 10 times better, down in verse 20. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were in all his realm. Thus Daniel continued until the first year of King Cyrus. So we're going to move on, and I'm just trying to point out that Daniel purposed in his heart, that's the most important thing that I see right there. He's taken prisoner. Many of us have been taken prisoner in our daily lives. Possibly in a marital situation, possibly in a work situation, possibly in a family situation, in a health situation, finance, whatever it is, and we become prisoners to those things sometimes. And so many times when we say when we're in prison and we say we're prisoners, we just want to give up. Well, let me just sit in my cell. God's committed me to this. I'm just going to hang out here. God has shown throughout the Bible in many different situations where the prison walls couldn't hold prisoners. Where people that were in prison and kept captive became free. And we have to keep pressing on to that and know that we can be free and we can have victory over that which imprisons us. Daniel purposed in his heart and said, I will not let this defile me. I'm a prisoner, but I know who my God is and I know who I serve, and I'm not going to stay in that prison. And I will not defile myself. So we move on. He's promoted. He found favor. Even in prison, he found favor. In chapter 2, if you turn over to chapter 2, and I won't read it all, but Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. And he gathers all his people and he says, hey, what is this dream? What does it mean? And of course, nobody can tell him. They say, hey, tell me your dream and I'll tell you what it means. He said, I want you to tell me. They didn't understand. And in verse 12 of chapter 2, it says, "For this reason the king was angry and very furious and gave the command to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree went out and they began killing the wise men. And they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them as well." Daniel is a prisoner with his friends. They find favor. They get a little promotion to watch over these areas. And then all of a sudden, guess what? All the prisoners must die. Not really saying all the wise men, but all those people in that group have to die because they haven't found one in there that could take care of the issue to interpret the king's dream. So in verse 14, it says, Then with counsel and wisdom, Daniel answered and said, "The captain of the king's guard who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon, he answered and said to him, 'Why is the decree from the king so urgent?'" And he stopped and he said, "Okay, I get it. I get it. You're going to kill us all. But what's the urgency of this? What's the big deal?" And he stopped to ask a question. He didn't just say, "Bring it on and kill me." But he said, "What's the urgency here? Explain to me why I have to die. Explain to me why you're going to kill me." I thought, okay, interesting enough. And he told him about the dream. Listen to verse 16 through 19. "So Daniel went in and asked the king to give him time that he might tell the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went into his house and made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they might seek mercies from God of heaven concerning this secret, so that Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven." Daniel went to his companions and said, "Hey, we have this need. And I want to make it known to you so that we can all pray about it. It's important as members of prayer of faith that we understand that same concept. Let your needs be known so that we can come together and pray. This 24-hour prayer vigil that we're having, it's not just something we can say, 'We had and we did good, God.' This is a time of prayer for us to come together and exercise something that may need some exercising, quite frankly. But when people come together and unite in prayer, and they lift their voices up in unison, not in disagreement, but in unison, the enemy hears that. And the enemy flees. Now we have to be very careful. Because when the enemy sees, oh my gosh, prayer of faith, they're coming together for a 24-hour prayer vigil. Let me tell you, the enemy is going to be right there. "I don't care what you prayed," says the enemy. "You're not going to get it. And I'm going to put all this stuff around you to make you fear that answer. And I don't care what you're praying about." Okay? Man, this 24-hour prayer vigil, it's not going to answer it. It's not going to mean anything. And he's going to be there. And he's going to be there before. And he's going to say, "Oh my goodness, they can't even fill up the slots on that. Doesn't matter. We'll be praying." They can't even fill the slots. That prayer of faith has nothing. By the way, we will be open here, and it's going to be kind of a strange deal. We'll be open here at prayer of faith until the morning, Saturday morning. Then we're transitioning over to Ground Zero. And the reason being, we have another church that uses our Ground Zero building that has long since reserved this spot. But we felt that was an important time for us to be here for that event. So we will shift over there on Saturday during the day. You can pray at home, but I think it's important that the enemy sees that you've made the effort to come up here and pray. But I want to make it clear, if you're unable to, if you're afraid to, we'll be here around the clock. I'll be here overnight, the entire night, so that there will be safety here. And the fear also is when you pray at home, you may be like the disciples and just nod off in your little prayer chair. So they came together and they prayed about this. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. We cannot forget to bless God when He answers those prayers. God, I know You told me no, but man, I bless You and praise You anyway. What do you mean? You had this big church-wide event and the prayer wasn't answered. Oh, it was answered. God gave us a different answer than we wanted and or expected, but we also want to pray with expectation. And the enemy's going to be there before, and he's going to be there during, and he's going to be there after. And he's going to put doubt in your mind. And it's so important that we erase that doubt that he puts in our mind, and that we understand he's going to answer the prayer. God's Word says, seek My will. Pray in My will. And so many times we pray our will. I didn't want to do a whole lot of reading on some of this stuff, but I want to read this. And right after verse 19 and verse 20 says, Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. And He changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells in Him. Guys, He knows what is in the darkness. Whatever that dark secret is we're dragging around, He already knows it. But know that light is in Him. And we're going to see that at the end of the message today, where that light shines. I thank You and praise You, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and might, and have now made known to me what we ask of You. For You have made known to us the king's demand. I thought, man, what a powerful statement that is. So then as we go down a little bit, that's his response to God's answer to his prayer. He didn't just say, oh, it came to me, I got it. He knew who it came from and where it came from and gave thanks in that. Now in verse 26, as we skip down a little bit, it says, the king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, are you able to make known to me the dream which I have seen and its interpretation? And Daniel answered in his presence of the king and said, the secret which the king has demanded, the wise men and astrologers and magicians and the soothsayers cannot declare to the king. See, all these other places he sought the answer, Daniel told the king, you're not going to find it there. You won't find the answer there. But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets and has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. And so he explains to the king, you're looking in the wrong place, but the king, the true king, the God in heaven has revealed that to me. And I can reveal that to you. Eric mentioned last week, sometimes we look for things in the wrong place. We look in the wrong place for those things. Are we seeking our answers in the wrong place? Now, if we find an answer in the wrong place, God can still restore. God can still show mercy and grace in those situations. But are you searching for the answers in all these other places? Man, my finances are a mess. Maybe that answers. One more pull. Bing. It wasn't there. Maybe I can read this book about this, and all the answers are here. By the way, Dr. Phil, maybe he's got all the answers. I don't know. Oprah, she's got everything. She has money. She keeps giving that stuff away. Maybe she's got the answers. Our friends, the Buddhists across the street, they have a lot of peace and harmony. They don't seem to fight a whole lot. Maybe they've got the answer. It doesn't mean they're bad people. There's a God in heaven who reveals secrets. And there's a God in heaven that has that answer to the things that you're looking for. And we have to remember that. So Daniel goes through and he reveals a dream to King Nebuchadnezzar. Verse 47, let's flip over. In verse 47, let's go to verse 46. It says, then King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face, prostrate before Daniel, and commanded that they should present an offering and incense to him. The king answered Daniel and said, truly your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, since you could reveal this secret to me. Then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many great gifts, and he made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief administrator over all the wise men of Babylon. So Daniel is now promoted for this, and he's given a position of authority. And Daniel petitioned the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. So when he got there, he didn't forget his friends. Said, hey, can you bring my friends? You know, we all prayed together. We kind of did this as a group thing. Could we all go together? Could you promote us all? So Daniel was prisoner. Then he found favor. Then because he was wise and the other wise guys couldn't figure it out, he was going to be killed. But then he asked a question, what's the problem? Then he sought God with his friends. Got the answer, praised God for the answer. Went back to the king and says, my God in heaven has revealed this to me. Gave credit where credit is due. Now has found favor again. Okay, that's great. Now, what do you think is going to happen next? Well, there's verse 3, or chapter 3. And so many times in the Bible, even throughout a book, you ride the highs and the lows, the highs and the low. And in verse 3, Nebuchadnezzar made an image. This thing was huge. An image of gold. They said it was between 90 and 100 feet tall. Kind of hard telling because the cubit had different lengths in different areas. It'd be like saying a foot is this long here and a foot is this long in another country. But they say around 90 to 100 feet tall. That's a pretty big golden image. Amen? And I thought, man, this huge image. Nebuchadnezzar has had his dream revealed to him, what it meant. He feels good about that. He makes this big image, but then what? In verse 4, he says, then a herald cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, that at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, and symphony with all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. Uh-oh. Now we're getting to familiar territory about these three guys. You think, man, when you hear this, you have to fall down and worship that. So we move on to verse 12 of chapter 3. Got some people that aren't too pleased with Daniel and his buddies, and they go to the king and said, there are certain Jews whom you have set over your affairs. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up. Then what? Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring these three. So they brought these men before the king. And he spoke, saying to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? I mean, I've got this huge thing. Is it true you don't want to worship my gods, plural and small g? Now, if you are ready, at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, and symphony, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is the God, small g, who will deliver you from my hands. Of course, not to be shaken, they answered immediately in verse 16. They said, "Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God, capital G, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king." Listen carefully, because I think a lot of times this is how we pray. Ah, he'll do this. But listen carefully in verse 18. "But if not," and that needs to be our response, "but if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up." You know, God, I am expecting this. And I know you can do this. But if not, let it be known. And they wanted to make it clear, he will deliver us. But if he doesn't, we still will not serve your gods. In that big, giant, golden, 100-foot image, we will not worship that image. Doesn't matter. We're ready. We're ready either way. Now, I don't know if we were facing a big fiery furnace, if we'd all feel that confident. I'm just being honest. Ooh, I serve a big God. That furnace out that door? And I wonder how many of us will fall to our knees and worship that golden image if the time came. I don't know. So then what happens, a familiar story. These three guys are demoted to death now. Hey, by the way, you didn't do this. So now you get a demotion, and your demotion is to death in the fiery furnace. So what happened to those people that were there to take them? They got consumed by the fire because of the massive heat. And we go on in verse 19. It says he's full of fury at this point. And the expression on his face changed towards them. He spoke and commanded that they might heat the furnace seven times more. Seven times more than it was usually heated. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind them. Didn't want any chance of them getting out. So you got to bind them, cast them into the burning furnace. Those men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Because the king's command was urgent and the furnace was exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took them up to it. They fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Verse 24, then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished. And he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, "Did we not cast three men bound in the midst of the fire?" He said to the king, "True, O king, we did." "But look," he answered, "I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Interesting, a man that brings back worship to so many different idols and gods. But he understood that presence and said, "The form of the fourth is like the Son of God." And I find it interesting for someone that doesn't worship the Son of God to say, "He looks like him. He looks like the Son of God." And then in verse 26, Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke, saying, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here." Then they came out from the midst of the fire. They had witnesses around. They gathered together and they saw that these men whose bodies the fire had no power over, the hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected. And the smell of fire was not on them. I don't know if you've ever been around a campfire, gone camping or whatever. That smell of fire is around you for a long time. And you walk around, someone's like, "Oh, you've been camping? Yeah, why? I can smell the smoke. It's It's on your clothes still. But none of that was with these three. None of it. He said, Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him. And they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or language who speaks anything amiss against the God," capital G, "of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made an ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like this." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. So again, promoted, demoted to death, went through. He acknowledges God at this point, said no other God but their God could have done this. And he promotes them yet again. Chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar has another dream. Don't want to get into that because I'm trying to talk about a different point. In chapter 4, verse 28, Daniel explained the king's second dream to him. Nebuchadnezzar's dream says all this in verse 28 of chapter 4. "All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of the 12 months, he was walking about the royal palace of Babylon. And the king spoke." Listen to the words that he spoke. "Is this not great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty?" Man, that's a lot of inward focus for the king, isn't it? Verse 31, "While the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven. King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you. And they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen, and seven times shall pass over you until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses." Wow, now we've gone from king to I'm going to be out there with the oxen. Oh, by the way, I'm going to eat grass. And he acted like an animal. His mindset shifted. Everything was gone from him. "That very hour the word was fulfilled concerning him. He was driven from men and ate grass like oxen. His body was wet with dew of heaven till his hair had grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird claws." Not a pretty sight. So now he's got humiliation from his rise to the king, and then all that pride came in. Proverbs 13:10 says, "By pride comes nothing but strife, but with the well-advised is wisdom." So now he's humiliated, he's living like an animal in there. But then verse 34, "And at the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me. And I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven. And among the inhabitants of the earth, no one can restrain his hand or say to him, 'What have you done?'" There's a point when we wander, when we drift away, we may not be acting like animals like he was, because God came down because of his pride and took that from him. But then humility came. Then he humbled himself. And after a certain length of time, my understanding was returned to me. For some of us that have been wandering, our understanding may be gone, but our understanding may return to us when we acknowledge God, when we rely and rest on him. Amen? Why did I preach this message today? We're getting ready for Easter. I remember last year, we were doing a series about people searching out God. The woman at the well, and he said, "Man, this person you seek, here I am." And then we had another example the next week. that who you seek? I am He. But I picked this out of Daniel because it's classic of things that happen in the Bible over and over and over. Be similar settings, except this one will be about the king that died on the cross. You see, he was born in a manger, humble settings to say the least. He was promoted to the King of Kings. And they did similar to this. They have a group of people. And during that glorious entrance that we're talking about next week on Palm Sunday, they're singing praises to him. Hosanna, man, this is a king that saves. But man, how quick things turn to those that sit on high. But not because of his pride was he demoted. Because the cry of the people was, crucify him! Less than a week later. I'm sorry, she's wondering why I'm yelling, poor little thing over there. She went, but they said, crucify him! Less than a week beforehand, they were singing praises. But here's what I know in the Bible. King David praised God. Man, you are the God of my fathers. I worship you. I praise you. I sing. I dance. I do all these things in your presence. You alone can hear my pleas, O God. Thank you for hearing me and not forgetting me. Oh, then he becomes King David. He does these sins, but then he's restored. And that's what we're talking about. Daniel and his companions, Daniel purposed in his heart. His companions were with him and he shared that with his companions and they came together for a common goal. And even though they served that king here, they refused to bow down to him in his image and serve his gods. They insisted on serving their God. And we have to do that. And then, after all that, God said, I will restore you. The king lost everything when he turned that inward. I built this for me, for my satisfaction. Look what I did. And God said, oh, no. But then understanding came after a period of time. And you may be going through something today that's for a period of time. And that could be days, weeks, months, or years. God knows that. And God may be waiting for your understanding to return to you. And for your faith to return to you. Look at all of us. We come from so many different places and backgrounds. From nowhere to somewhere, from somewhere to somewhere higher, from somewhere to nowhere. I mean, look around at us. What a fabulous group of people coming together from all different backgrounds. Family history, religious history, and God has brought us together for a common goal, to serve Him and His kingdom, to glorify Him, and to spread the news, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the resurrected King. Today, my question is simply, what have you purposed in your heart, or what will you purpose in your heart going forward and hold fast to that? Let's bow our heads in prayer today. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word today. God, we thank you for your example of Daniel, who said, no matter what I face, I am a prisoner, I am captive, but I serve you and I have purposed in my heart not to go against you and not to do things to defile myself and to bring dishonor to you. Daniel stuck with his friends and they stuck with him. They supported one another. They prayed together. And they found fellowship with one another, even in captivity. And even when they faced death multiple times over, you were able to come in and show them grace and mercy. And you were able alone to reveal those things that other means could not reveal. God, today, help us to purpose in our heart and set things up in our heart that are non-negotiables with our relationship with you and in our faith. God, I ask you to just to see what we desire with our 24-hour prayer vigil. Man, we have prayed over this. We have bound the enemy in this. But we know that the enemy will show up. at different times, in different ways to different people. God, I just ask that our efforts are multiplied when we come together for your people, for your kingdom. If you're here today and you simply just need prayer, if you have a specific prayer, that's fine. But if you just want prayer, just raise your hand. If you just continue in an attitude of prayer, raise your hand so that we can pray for you. If you have something specifically, you're welcome to come up here and we can pray with you. But if not, let's just pray where you are. We'll get with you. Thank you. God, for those that aren't able to be here today, I ask you to be with them. Lord, for those that are homebound, for those that are just unable to be here, our friends Paul, Alice, Lord, that we lift them up. Those that have been here for so long that aren't able to make it anymore, Lord, I ask you to lift them up. I ask that your presence be shown in their homes and in their rooms where they stay. God, help us to be light and example of your love to others. Help us to be salt to those that we come in contact with. God, our words and our actions towards one another that we may be loving. And where your word said that God's light shines through, and God is light and God is love. Help us to be reflections of that. God, I ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.